Speaking of surcharges, talk about a segue. My next guest, the distinguished senator from the state of New Jersey, Senator Robert Menendez. Senator, thank you for joining us.
Good morning, Peter. It's great to be with you.
Yeah, and likewise. I mean, I just read the letter that you wrote to the airline CEOs. How timely is this? You know, fuel was $4.35 a gallon back in the summer. Now it's as low as $2.34. Why are they still charging the surcharges, Senator?
Well, that's what my letter asks, and that's what we're calling on them to change. You know, now's not the time for Americans to be priced out of traveling, and particularly as we're approaching the holidays where loved ones are trying to get together, we certainly don't need a surcharge when, in fact, as you just pointed out, Peter, and I pointed out in my letter, you know, fuel for aircraft has dropped $2 a gallon, nearly half, and we want to see the same reflection we see at the gas pump when we drive up our car. It went up to over $4, now it's down, significantly. Well, we want to see the same marketplace reactions take place with the airlines, but they're using the fuel surcharge to fuel their bottom line.
Well, isn't it just another excuse to raise fares without essentially officially raising fares?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, in response to a press conference I have where I announced where I was sending these letters to all the major CEOs of the airlines, I read some of the industry responses. And, of course, you know, they vary. You know, it was interesting to read last week that Dick Anderson, the chief executive at Delta, said that if fuel prices kept where they were, this could mean a profit of several hundred million dollars for Delta. Well, that's you know, great for Delta, but not great for the flying public. And you know, some airlines started crying poverty. The bottom line is if it's because you really need it to make ends meet, then put it in your pricing. Let's see the competition among pricing, but don't say there's a fuel surcharge when, in fact, fuel has dramatically dropped.
I couldn't agree with you more. I mean, airlines have always priced their fares to be competitive but not to be realistic, because then there's the dreaded asterisk. And that dreaded asterisk is everything else added that you didn't see in the advertised fare. I always laugh. Senator, there's one thing that really makes me mad. Maybe it makes you mad, too. You see advertising for airfares all the time that says, let's say, Los Angeles to New York, $184 asterisk. And then you look down and it says, one-way ticket requiring a round-trip purchase. Well, wait a minute. That's $368. That's not $184.
That's right.
I mean, they're insulting us.
Well, you know, and since the when fuel prices did go up, since that point in time, of course, the airlines have begun to charge for everything, not only the fuel surcharge, but then, of course, the baggage came along. First, it was only your second bag. Then it was your first and second bags. Then, if you wanted, in some airlines, if you wanted a blanket, if you wanted a snack, if you changed your ticket, if you had another company child, the price went up. I mean, you know, the list. I recently printed out the list of different charges. And, you know, one of the things I'm looking at from the federal government's perspective is we presently don't require airlines to follow a uniform method in disclosing their fees on these on their websites. And, you know, maybe we need to do that because, you know, you've got to be, you know, an analyst to figure out what your price is going to be.
You're right, Senator. It's the whole concept of bundling and full disclosure. Senator, when we last left off, we were talking about fuel surcharges, but I want to open up a little bit bigger to that, and that is, of course, we're less than 2 weeks away from the election, and the next president's going to have a lot on his plate. But I guess the real question is, to what extent will the travel and tourism infrastructure, you know, be high up on that, simply because as we see airlines cutting capacity across the board as much as 16% in some cases, I mean, that's got to have an immediate detrimental effect on our economy as a whole.
Well, I think it's an integral part of it. You know, Peter, when I was in the House of Representatives for 13 years, I served on the Transportation Committee and then on the Aviation Subcommittee. It's a huge issue. It's incredibly important to our country. We saw the consequences after September 11th of an aviation system that gets shut down. And while that's certainly not the present set of circumstances, the contraction is pretty significant as the airlines scramble to make their lines more profitable, reduce the supply. Of course, demand's still pretty strong, I think, overall. at least from the flying I constantly do. And so, it's a challenge. It's a challenge for businesses that have to move their sales forces, have to have meetings. It's a challenge for families who are trying to see their loved ones, our young men and women who often use commercial flights as they report to duty. So it has so many different dimensions in our economy. And of course, the travel and tourism industry, and welcome to New Jersey, by the way.
Thank you.
We've got Newark International Airport. It's just a tremendous driver of our regional economy here, is incredibly important. So I think it's going to, looking at the infrastructure, looking at including the technology, how do we ensure that we continuously have not only the world's safest aviation system, but at the same time, how do we use technology to maximize capacity? Those are all issues that are going to have to be looked at in this next Congress.
Well, Senator, let me share with you one of my favorite quotes. It came from Dwight Eisenhower, and he said, America didn't build the interstate highway system. The interstate highway system built America. And when we built the interstate highway system, there was no real ROI there that was tangible. It was bigger than all of us. It was the entire economy of the country. And don't we have to also apply that to our airline infrastructure as well?
Well, there's no question that we make some significant investments in our airline infrastructure, and particularly in our airports across the country. And of course, after September 11th, we went to the rescue of the industry because we thought it was critically important to the country. And now, as we move forward, and we're looking at the diverse challenges of our economy, obviously the aviation industry is going to be incredibly important to the nation's economy and to all of those goals that I described before, from families getting together to the business components of it in terms of business travel. So, and of course, the ripple effect in our economy that is pretty huge. In New Jersey, tourism is the second largest driver of our economy. So those are incredibly important. And in that context, we have to look at investments in the infrastructure. And next year, we're going to have a major federal transportation bill, a five-year reauthorization. That and a few other options will be a great opportunity to be looking at the aviation industry and what we need to do to make sure it stays healthy, safe, and competitive.
Of course, you've got Liberty International here at Newark, but going across the country, and I was saying this earlier in the show, earlier this week I was in Kansas, I was in Ohio, and in all of those states, they're seeing huge cutbacks in air service. Some cities, some airports seeing total elimination of air service. I mean, that's serious business.
It is. I mean, in this contraction that the industry has been in the midst of, you see them closing flights to, places that they just don't think is sufficiently profitable. And so the bottom line is, of course, that has consequences to the people, businesses in those communities, and the economic flow that takes place, or the lack of the economic flow that takes, that is a direct consequence of closing down those routes. And so we're going to have to look at the totality of the industry. We realize it has some challenges, but it needs also to, have the flying public, like in the surcharge issue. I mean, I think they do themselves a disservice when they continue to charge a surcharge on fuel when everybody knows that fuel's going down. Now, if you want to have a price increase and, justify your price increase because you supposedly have losses, fine. I think you need, just as in our financial institutions, trust is the coin of the realm. And if you increasingly doubt the industry, then I think it does itself a disservice, and as well as in terms of its ability to be in a position to advocate for, federal investment in it. So it's all interconnected, but at the end of the day, we need a vibrant aviation industry. We need one for our commerce. We need one for our families. We need one for travel and tourism. It's a critical part of our economy, and it'll probably clearly be, as we look at the federal transportation bill coming up for its five-year renewal, it'll be an opportunity to look at it really hard and figure out how we make those investments.
Okay, I've got to ask you this question. Are you paying to check your bags?
To be honest with you, I have on some airlines. On the one airline that I am a platinum member because I travel on it so much, I get to pack it on for free.
Whoa, okay, Senator Robert Menendez skirting in under the radar. Senator, thanks so much for joining us. We'll be right back.